I'm Tyler Jones with Oil and Gas 360. Joining me today is Utah's Governor Gary Herbert. How are you today, sir?
Very fine, Tyler. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you very much. Governor, to start off today, I kind of wanted to talk with you about employment in the state of Utah. When you were sworn in for your first term in August 2009, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that Utah's unemployment was approaching 8%. Fast forward to February 2015, we're about halfway through your second term at that point, and unemployment was down to about 3.4%. Can you tell me the story behind this employment growth and what the energy sector had to do with it?
Well, I came in at the height of the Great Recession, and I think it probably peaked about 8.4% unemployment rate, but we made it our number one focus on turning the economy around. I think every elected official, that should be their focus, really the economy. And so we took a look at where we were at and where we wanted to be and set some goals. Our goals were to be the best performing economy in America and a premier global business destination. So that was our mission statement, our goals, and then we set about determining what would help us to get those goals realized. We set as pillars economic development, education, and energy as the pillars, with self-determination as the fourth cornerstone as far as what we would do to put this together. And frankly, we've created a very business-friendly environment. I believe in the private sector. We've tried to keep government off the backs of the private sector. We've tried to make sure we have competitive and tax rates. We've had regulation reform. And we've been able to develop all sectors of our economy, with the cornerstone of that effort being in our energy arena. And clearly the results are in. 5 years later, we have probably the best performing economy in the nation. Our job growth creation at 4.7%. The private sector is number one right now in America. Unemployment rate at 3.4%. And our international trade has grown by nearly double over the last 5 years. So on all fronts, every sector of our economy is now growing in a very positive way. The only thing that's not growing in Utah right now is state government. That's flatlined, and actually we have fewer state employees now working in state government. In Utah today, you'd have to go back to the year 2001 to find a smaller number, and that's in the face of about 700,000 new people calling Utah home, as probably the third or fourth fastest growing state in America population-wise. So, good results. We're pleased. We're grateful. We're humble at the great economic growth that we've seen here in Utah, and we believe we can continue to have that to happen. There's no reason why we cannot continue to grow the economy in Utah.
Well, Governor, that's very impressive, and we're always glad to hear that there's a state doing so well. With the current decline in oil prices, and they have been making a comeback in the last few weeks, has that had any effect on job growth in Utah or the overall job count?
Well, one of the very smart things that we've done over the last few years is to diversify our economy. So, interestingly enough, Utah, 3 million people nestled at the foot of the Rocky Mountains, as the fourth most diversified economy in America today. So we don't have all of our economic eggs in one basket, and so when one sector can be down, another sector can be up. Clearly, in some of our energy areas of the state, with the dropping prices of oil, some of our rigs have laid down. We've had people that have been laid off, and so unemployment really has increased somewhat in the energy fields and the oil fields, our natural gas development. But we have a resurgent now in coal. We have opportunities to export some of our coal to other areas of the world that are in need of low-cost energy. We use a lot of coal in cleaner processes and cleaner extraction processes with new technology here in Utah, which has helped keep our energy costs low, which again gives us some competitive advantage when it comes to economic growth and development. But we've had some impact, but it's been, fairly minimal. And as you mentioned, the prices are going back up. The people here believe, what is going down is going to turn around and go back up. So our outlook is very bright. Even in the energy field, we're very optimistic about the future of energy development in the state of Utah.
You talked about coal and energy generation in Utah. I know that one of the goals of the state is to be producing 25% more electrical energy than it consumes by 2020. What's the energy mix going to look like for that? Is there going to be places for natural gas and renewables in that plan as well?
Absolutely. One of the very smart things we did also was when I came in, as we said, let's develop an energy plan. Nobody's done that. The country didn't have an energy plan. It was just kind of a fly by the seat of your pants. So we got together some really smart people in energy, got different stakeholders around the table and said, what would a 10-year energy plan look like for Utah? And we developed one. It's a work in progress, meaning that it continually evolves as we move 10 years into the future. It's certainly based on an all-of-the-above approach in a free market competitive society. So I'm not really in favor of subsidizing any form of energy, no matter what it is. I think energy needs to go out and compete. And as it competes, you know, we find innovative ways to compete and succeed in the competition. We believe that the public wants, one, sustainable energy. They want to know that when they turn the light switch on, lights appear and go on, that energy is available in abundant quantities and that's sustainable. Two, they want it to be affordable, meaning they don't want it to break the bank of their home household budgets. They don't want to break the bank in their business budgets and the manufacturing plants. They want energy to be affordable. And lastly, they want it to be cleaner. Everybody's concerned about cleaner skies, cleaner air, make sure our waters are clean, to be good stewards of the earth, and make sure our home is clean. Sometimes cleaner energy and affordable energy are at odds with each other. We recognize that. But as we work together, we're finding that technology is, in fact, the savior of us all in finding better ways to do things. We certainly, in Utah, are cleaning up the air, major strides in reduction of pollution that we've had here in the state of Utah. We have better technology to help us with our extraction industries. We have better technology now that allows us in our processing of our oil refineries, in our coal mines, in our natural gas. The technology of hydraulic fracturing has allowed us to, in fact, produce large supplies of natural gas, which is certainly a transitional fuel towards more renewables and greener fuels. And so we're just allowing the private sector to go out there and develop, find better ways to do things, recognizing that the public wants sustainability, affordability, and cleaner fuels. And I believe that's what's happening here in Utah.
Absolutely. And you mentioned hydraulic fracturing and how that's helping to produce some more gas. Last week, North Dakota and Colorado joined Wyoming's lawsuit against the Department of Interior, challenging the BLM's authority to impose new federal rules on that practice of hydraulic fracturing. What is your stance on how much authority the federal government should have in regulating natural resources at the state level?
You know, I believe that states have done a very good job of regulating hydraulic fracturing themselves. I don't believe we need an extra layer of oversight. I think it becomes redundant and just expensive and more costly when it comes to producing energy. Why do we want to do that? There's no better outcome from the standpoint of the good environmental impacts that come with hydraulic fracking. So there's no benefit. It just adds additional cost and delay in producing energy. So I see no benefit, and everything ought to be looked through the prism of cost to benefit. States are pretty smart groups of people. Our oil and gas people here, our Division of Environmental Quality, our oil, gas, and mining people work in concert together to make sure we have appropriate controls and regulations and oversight in place. And it works very well. There's not any, not even one example of any problem that's come with hydraulic fracturing in the state of Utah. And I don't believe you can find really a problem across the country. It's a myth that hydraulic fracking is causing some kind of pollution into water aquifers or having some detrimental effect of the environment. The facts don't bear that up. So I think the state's doing a good job. The federal government maybe should access the information we have, but putting one extra layer of federal oversight and regulation, I think, becomes very counterproductive, much more expensive with no benefit to that additional cost.
Absolutely. And another outcome of the hydraulic fracking boom has been just massive increases in the amount of crude production here in the U.S. Many are calling for the end of the U.S. crude export ban that doesn't allow our producers to export internationally. What's your stance on that? Do you think it would help Utah and other states if that ban was lifted?
I think it probably would. I'm a free trade person. I don't like governments stifling the ability of entities to trade with each other, countries, communities. I think when we have free trade, which we hope is fair trade, but when we have free trade, I think our country benefits. To find places where we can export our products, is an important aspect of what we're doing in Utah. As we say here in Utah, 95% of our customers live outside America. And so we have an opportunity to invest in other countries, help their economy, but in doing so, help our own economy. And so I'm a Milton Friedman economist. I believe in free trade, and the more we can do that, the better off we are economically. But I also would add that there's another significant benefit that comes. It's really for a national security interest. As we have trade with other countries, we, in fact, foster friendships and better relationships. It's pretty hard to do business with your enemies, but it's very easy to do business with your friends. And as we, in fact, expand our economic trade agreements with other countries, we become their friends and partners and allies. And that's good for us, not only economically, but good for us to foster better relationships on a national security basis in the world.
Okay, and I know that you're trying to make Utah a premier destination for international business. Are you doing anything in particular to attract international oil and gas industry business?
We certainly have allowed other countries to come to Utah to invest in Utah, oil shale, for example, oil sands, which is new technology, and it appears it's getting close to being economically viable now. But we have some foreign countries that are using oil shale and oil sands as an energy source in their countries that come to Utah, where we have an abundance of those kinds of materials that they think they can, in fact, develop economically. So we're getting foreign investment into Utah, the same as we have some of our countries investing in other foreign lands, in manufacturing plants and other economic opportunities. So it works both ways. It's certainly in energy that's taking place in Utah.
Okay, and I know about 25% or about a quarter of your production in 2013, that's the crude oil production, came from tribal lands. Could you talk to me a little bit about what Utah is doing to work with tribal groups to make that relationship work?
We every year have a tribal summit. I started it when I was lieutenant governor 10 years ago to foster better relationships between sovereign nations inside a sovereign state, inside a sovereign nation. The relationships there are a little more tricky and more complicated. So we've gotten together to see if we can make sure we're communicating well, we understand each other, respect cultural differences and tribal customs. And working to help them economically is to help themselves. Education has been a big key for us. We need to have better education and better performance in education excellence with our Native American brothers and sisters. We have eight governmental recognized tribes in the state of Utah. Education is a key for their future. Some of them have energy opportunities with oil and gas, and we're working with them to see what they would like to do to develop the energy sources on their own tribal lands. We are helping to facilitate. We certainly are not trying to dictate. It's something they need to make a decision themselves as far as what they want to do, where they want to do it at, and how they're going to do it. That's a local decision for the Native Americans. But we're trying to help collaborate and cooperate and combine our efforts together where we can.
Okay. And I know one of your other objectives for Utah is to promote rural economic progress and protect natural landmarks. How do you decide which of Utah's public lands are appropriated and which are protected?
Well, a lot of them already are protected. Some of our national parks have done that. We have 5 national parks. We have wilderness areas that we have a significant number of wilderness areas. We have our own 43 state parks, which does some of that on a state level. We have about 70% of our land mass is publicly owned land. And we're trying to work with legislation to decide what areas should be developed, what areas should be preserved, what iconic views and vistas should be preserved for only tourism, what should have a combined use effort. And again, the good news is with increased advancement of technology, we can develop some of our natural resources and not despoil the landscape and have a combination of both. They're not mutually exclusive ideas. The BLM's charter requires multiple use of the public land: farming, ranching, tourism, travel, extraction industry, natural resource development, energy. All of the above are what should be done on our public lands. We do what's called regional management plans. We have 7 of them throughout the state, designed, again, to have local input from environmental communities, industry, local leaders, civic involvement, industry, all working together to find what the optimal development plan should be for these public land areas. And frankly, that system works quite well. And we are certainly making sure that we preserve those iconic vistas and venues known to Utah. Our tourism and travel is up nearly 8%. We're growing dramatically in tourism and travel, as well as being able to develop our natural resources in very environmentally responsible ways.
This has been Tyler Jones for Oil and Gas 360. Thank you again very much for joining me today, Governor.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, and hope to talk with you again.
All right. You have a nice day.
You too. Thank you.